We're going to watch a bit of a video now that brings us up to date with the story of Joseph and tells a little bit of the story that we're looking at today. So here we have, there's an introduction to this. If you are very confused, Israel is the same person as Jacob. Israel is just another name for Jacob the man, because they talk about Israel here, and in the Bible it seems to be a bit interchangeable. So here we go. Thank you.
The Faithful Hall of Fame, Joseph. This is Joseph.
Hey!
Who was the son of Israel and Rachel. But he had 11 brothers who hated him and sold him into slavery.
Yeep.
After being put in jail, Joseph told of the future of Egypt when he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and Joseph found favor with the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh made Joseph a leader in his kingdom. Just as Joseph had told the Pharaoh, Egypt had 7 years of abundance. Then the 7 years of abundance came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said. But the Egyptians had food to eat because Joseph had planned for the famine. There was famine in all the other lands, and many came to Joseph to buy food. There was even a famine in the land that Joseph came from. So when Israel heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent his sons to buy some. But Israel did not send Benjamin with the others. Because he was afraid that harm might come to him. When Joseph's brothers came to him, Joseph recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger. So Joseph decided to test his brothers. He had his interpreter tell them to send for Benjamin, who had stayed home.
Him.
And then he threw his brothers in jail for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph let all but one of the brothers take grain to their starving households with the instruction to bring Benjamin back. But Joseph provided for his brothers' journey and gave them grain and silver. The brothers did exactly as Joseph instructed, as they were scared that God was punishing them for what they had done to Joseph so many years before. They traveled home to their father's house, then back to Egypt. Now that he had seen that they brought Benjamin, Joseph was overwhelmed, so he released the brother who was still in prison. But Joseph decided to play one more trick on his brothers. He sent the brothers away but told his servant to hide his silver cup in Benjamin's bag. Then Joseph told the servant to go after the brothers and retrieve the cup. The brothers hadn't traveled far before the servant stopped them and accused them of stealing the cup. Joseph could no longer control himself before his attendants. He made them leave so he could be alone with his brothers, and he told his brothers who he really was.
Ta-da!
He told them of his life and all he had experienced, and he forgave them for what they had done. God was with Joseph and took care of him and showed him favor.
Good. So, there we are. We're coming, as I said before, to the end of the story of Joseph for the moment. God, through Joseph, has saved an entire nation. And he's also used him to bless his own family. They are the earliest members of the Jewish race. So Joseph has managed, by following God's commands, by listening to him, by being obedient, to get into a position where he can help the Egyptians with a problem they have. But it hasn't all been plain sailing, as we know, because his brothers have had quite a big part to play in this story. They hadn't listened to his dreams at the beginning. Do you remember? They got really cross when he had those dreams about everything bowing down to him. They'd been really jealous of the coat that Joseph had been given by his father. We've got the coat up here from the very beginning of our summer specials. They'd almost killed Joseph, and they'd ended up selling him to foreign travelers as a slave. As far as they were concerned, Joseph was long gone and most probably dead. And they carried on in their lives without a thought for him. Or had they? Did you notice in that story, and it tells us in the Bible, that when they went away from Egypt, when they were going back to their father, they were very worried that bad things were going to happen to them because of what they'd done to Joseph. So maybe it was hidden, but the consequence of the actions they'd done all those years ago had stayed with them to this point, and they weren't free of the bad things they'd done. When they saw him again, they didn't recognize him. Seems amazing, doesn't it, that you wouldn't recognize your own brother, however long it had been. Now, my brother lives in York, and he's changed quite a lot from when he was about this high, and he had masses and masses of hair. He looked like he had a haystack sitting on his head most of the time. So now he's about this high, and it's a search and rescue attempt every time he goes to the hairdresser, because he's got virtually none. But I would still recognize him when I see him. Joseph's brothers didn't even recognize him, and they felt ashamed of the things they'd done. What about Joseph? Well, in human terms, Joseph had had a very interesting time. He'd been ignored, ridiculed, trapped, sold, owned by somebody, trusted by somebody, falsely accused, unjustly imprisoned, forgotten, then remembered, then turned out to be needed, and then he became respected. People believed what he said. And by the time we get to the point today, he was honored and empowered. But that's still only half the story. Because as we've seen, God's been watching over Joseph, and Joseph has remained faithful and obedient to him throughout the years of our story. And it's today that we see the real depth and strength of Joseph's character as his brothers re-enter the plot. I've picked out a few verses from Genesis 45. And it says this: Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers weren't able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Can you imagine what it must have felt for them? They'd been worried all their lives about what they'd done, and here was Joseph, and he was a powerful man who could have them thrown into prison, and they probably thought that he was going to get his revenge. But Joseph said, "Come close to me." And when they'd done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." But then he says the most extraordinary thing. He says, "Don't be distressed. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." He explains that for 2 years there's been a famine, and for the next 5 years there's going to continue to be more famine, no ploughing and reaping. But he says, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." So he says, "It wasn't you that sent me here, it was God." And then he says this, which is a bit peculiar: "He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. He says, hurry back to my father, say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. I wonder if the brothers started to think about those dreams that Joseph had told them about at the very beginning. Do you remember the dreams where the sheaves of corn bowed down to Joseph's sheaf of corn in the middle? And now here they were, bowing down to Joseph, needing the corn that he could give them. And he'd also told them about the dream where the sun and the moon and stars had bowed down to him. And I wonder whether a little light bulb went on in those brothers' minds, whether they had an aha moment and went, oh my goodness, we thought he was just completely nutty. But actually, he was right. God had told him, and he was right. I think that we see that Joseph's heart belongs to God. Through all this story where he's been loved and hated and sold and bought and used, and some people have thought he's great and some people have thought he's terrible. Even the baker and the cupbearer, do you remember them? The cupbearer thought Joseph was great because he told him his dream was that he was going to be back working for the Pharaoh. And the baker thought he was horrible because he told him that he was going to have his head chopped off. But Joseph hasn't been affected by who loves him and who hates him. Joseph has known that God loves him, and his heart has kept holding on to God. Wrong way. His thoughts. People have thought all sorts of strange things about Joseph, haven't they? They thought he was an idiot. They've thought he was magic, probably. They thought that he was someone who could tell the future. And then Pharaoh has thought that he is someone who can look after the land. His words. Joseph has used his words well, and he's stopped and he's asked God what he should say when people ask him. And his actions. He has put into practice what he said needed to happen, and God has used him. I want to just go back through those things, because today we're thinking about forgiveness and reconciliation. At this point in our story, when the brothers were so scared of Joseph, were so worried that he was going to get revenge on them, he said to them, no, it's all right. God's had his hand on this. And Joseph has looked at his family with tremendous love, even though they haven't deserved it. And his forgiveness has started from that place of love. And I wonder whether sometimes God says to us, I want you to look at people who hurt you with a bit more love. Because God loves them and he wants us to love them, even when it's hard. If we're going to forgive people, we have to start with love, what's in our hearts. I'm not very good at doing this the right direction. What about our thoughts? Joseph could have become bitter. He had years in jail when he could have mulled over those thoughts and become more and more bitter. Do you know people who are bitter? I've known people who are so bitter with hurts that they can't forget and people they can't forgive that they've ended up shriveling within themselves. But Joseph thinks positively about his family, about his brothers, as he forgives them. And his words, he reassures them. He says to them, it's okay, you did something terrible. He doesn't say it doesn't matter, but he says, what you did that was terrible, God has used for good. We need to guard our words sometimes, don't we? And finally, the actions. Joseph gives his brothers the grain that they need. He welcomes them back. He tells them to send for his father, to bring him back, so that they can all be reconciled together. So, forgiveness and reconciliation. Our hearts, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Sometimes forgiveness has to happen the other way round. Sometimes we really don't want to forgive somebody for something they've done that's hurt us. And we have to just do it. We have to ask God to give us the strength to forgive. We have to act as if we forgive. We have to speak as if we forgive. We have to capture the thoughts that would make us bitter and give them to God and start to think forgivingly. And when we do that, it will change our hearts. So, the next time somebody really, really annoys you, or maybe thinking back to something in the past where you've been hurt, if you want to see God at work in you in the way that we've seen Joseph at work, then you need to learn to forgive. Our feelings, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. When we offer them to God and we allow him to move in us and to work in us, then we will know that same reconciliation and forgiveness as Joseph managed to demonstrate at the end of this story today.